slightly, just low. I was going to talk to you, but I forgot. Good morning. Well, this morning, Perez family had some hard news. Their brother-in-law passed away. He had been fighting cancer for a while, so went to be into the arms of Jesus this morning. So we're going to pray for the family. Also, Phyllis, yesterday, did you guys see the prayer request that Bruce is needing dialysis? So we're going to pray for him today. So, Father, we just come before your throne right now, Lord, and we ask that you would touch, Lord, the Perez family, Lord, with your peace and with your comfort. Lord, that there would just be, Lord, an assurance, Lord, that would come to every heart, Lord, that Juan is with you, Lord, that he is no longer suffering, God, and that he's now, Lord, received, God, the reward that he's been so earnestly and diligently following his whole life. Lord, we pray right now, Lord, for Bruce, Lord, that you would just touch him, Lord, Phyllis's boy. Lord, we pray that you would just bring healing, Lord, to his body, Lord, this dialysis. Lord, we pray that it would not be necessary anymore and that his kidneys, Lord, would function properly. Lord, that there would just be a transformation that would take place. Lord, that healing would be his portion. Lord, he is your son, Lord. He's received you, Lord. So we pray that he would receive as a son, Lord, your reward of healing today. We just ask this now in Jesus' name. So Pastor Gay is in Cleveland. She got to see our grandbaby. She was so excited. She cried. She always cries when she sees grandbabies for the first time. But this morning she sent me a text, and she said that she'd been praying since early morning. I was still asleep when she started praying for us. And she said that she received a kind of a word in her heart, and that word was bask. And so I looked up the definition of bask. I kind of know a little bit what bask means, but it's a verb, and it means to lie or relax in a presence, warmth, or atmosphere. Could also mean light, to lie in a light. Basking in the warmth of the sun. Also means to take pleasure or derive enjoyment. Basking in the spotlight. And so she sensed that we were going to be basking in the Lord's presence this morning. So Father, we thank you, Lord, for that word that you put in Gay's heart, Lord. And I agree with it, Lord, that we're going to have an experience of basking, Lord, in your presence. Lord, that the warmth, God, of your presence, Lord, would fill our hearts and fill our lives. And Lord, that there would be a relaxation, Lord, that would come to our soul. A relaxation, Lord, that would come to our heart. Lord, that the stresses and the trials of life, Lord, would be dimmed, Lord, in your glory, Lord. And we pray, God, that this would be, Lord, a from glory to glory moment. Lord, that all of us would leave here, Lord, changed as we spent time in your presence. We just release, Lord, your will here today. We release, Lord, your power, Lord, in our lives and in this service. Lord, we release your truth, God, to come to our hearts. Your truth, Lord, that will make us free. Lord, we pray that every chain, Lord, that the enemy's put upon us, every weight and every hindrance, Lord, every encumbrance, Lord, that he's put on us, Lord, that it would be broken today. And Lord, that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened, Lord, that we would see, Lord, who you are and who we are in you. And we just thank you, Jesus, that you have finished the work, Lord. And we enter in to the finished work of the cross this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
what you've done for me. up, never runs out on me.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Feels weird without my better half here today. As I said at the beginning, she's in Cleveland with our grandkids. And our kids, yeah. To bask in you today. I really want us to receive your radiant love shining on us. A reality, Lord, of who you are in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Help us to have greater comprehension, Lord, today of your incomprehensible love for us. Share this little bit and we'll see where the Lord takes it from there. drop out some of the music. There we go. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's all about God. We're in 2018, and that's a reality that I think we need to realize, that it is all about God. And hello. Hate it when that happens. Voice over or something was working. Voice over. So it's all about God. And when I was praying this morning and just asking the Lord, you know, what he wanted me to share on, I didn't really feel like I wanted to continue in John 4 without Gay. So I kind of made that decision. So I said, Lord, you know, what would you have me share on? And so, you know, all the different things. Yeah, I started reading my one-year Bible again this year. I kind of do it every other year now. Jesse's like hardcore. He reads it every year. And I do a different translation. And this year I'm using the Concordant Literal Version. And man, that's a tough read, even for me. And so every now and then I'll have to go back and read like a literal translation to get it just a little closer to, because it's like word for word. So the sentences sometimes don't sound like English sentences. But so I was wondering, is there anything, Lord, that I've read in there that you want me to share about? And I didn't get anything. So while I was taking a shower, all of a sudden, this verse dropped in my head. It's all good. No, that's not the verse. It's all God. This verse dropped in my heart. And I thought, okay, that's a good verse. You know, and usually if I get a verse, because sometimes, you know, it could be me, you know, so I'm just like, okay, that's fine. That's a good verse. Well, by the third time, I knew that the Lord wanted me to share on this. So, Holy Spirit, thank you that you don't have to leave us on our own and we have to try to come up with something, make up something. So, Philippians 2, 12 through 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Right there, you could make that a sermon. But that's not the message today. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So this is Paul, of course, communicating to the Philippian church, and he's telling them that he's pleased that they are obeying and that they're following the teachings that he, by the Holy Spirit, communicated to them, and that it wasn't that just because he was there were they following him, but even though that he was gone, they were still following what he had taught them. And he said, even much more now that I'm gone. So it's almost like because he left, they were even more due diligent to do what he had communicated to them. And then he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now this is interesting because when you read that, it sounds like we have to work out our own salvation, doesn't it? I mean, if you read it, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I've had people say that to me before, you know, like when I'm going through a tough time. Well, you know, you need to work out your salvation. and it ends up being that, you know, you can put on this weight of trying to work out your own salvation. And that's not really the end of it, because he goes on to say that, get it here, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we're to work on our own salvation, but it's only in God that we can do that.
Do you think that means, like, because we each come to God with our own package of things that we need to get shed up?
Yeah.
And that's what that means, that through God that we've worked that out with.
It's Spider-Man.
It is Spider-Man. Can I put him right there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, okay, now we've done that, you've grown, you're strong enough, let's get rid of this now. Do you think that that's what
Yeah, I think that has to do with it, because Paul said that, you know, he prayed that we would be sanctified spirit, soul, and body. And sanctification and salvation, the completion, there you go, the completion of our salvation kind of go hand in hand. And so if you look at the fact that your salvation is your salvation, my salvation is my salvation, Zeke's salvation is Zeke's salvation, Tara's salvation is Tara's salvation, all of them are received from the same source, but each and every one of us have our own salvation to work out. And that my salvation, the way that I work it out, doesn't necessarily mean the way you're going to work yours out. So is that what you're trying to say? We all got our own little stuff?
Yes, but in that, it's like, some people say, well, when I got saved, all that was going wrong with me immediately.
Oh, yes.
Some of us, when we get saved, we still deal with some of those things, and I know that we deal with them for a reason, because each one of us is different.
Right. Well, some people, you know, get saved, and immediately they're free from drugs. I mean, they were drug addicts, and I mean, they're free, and they never have another problem with the drug their whole life. And they run into somebody who's on drugs, and they're saved, and they're wondering, what's your problem?
Yes.
What's the deal? I mean, you should be totally set free. And so they think that because they were totally delivered, that's the way everybody should be. And I mean, it'd be awesome if that was the case. But it's very possible that the drugs isn't the biggest issue in their life right then. The Holy Spirit's working on something else. And so, yes, we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For it's all God. Yet, we're to work it out, but the only reason that we can work it out with God is by submitting ourselves to God, yielding and surrendering our own will and our own ways. So let's look at what this word works out means. Joe, it's the same one you told me about the other day. It's in Helps Word Studies, it's the word energio, and it means engaged in, which intensifies the word work. So it means that we're engaged in work. But keep in mind that it's God who's at work in us. This is not us engaged in work. This is God in us engaged. And so it means working in a situation which brings it from one stage or point to the next. So when I read that, it reminded me from glory to glory, that we're being changed, we're being transformed, we're being renewed, we're being awakened, we're being, you know, intensified, becoming brighter, all these things that are attributes of drawing closer to the Lord and him at work in us. So it means like an electrical current, energizing a wire, bringing it to a shining light bulb. So it'd be like the light bulb saying, okay, I'm going to produce light. And yet the light bulb's like sitting right here. Although it wants to produce light, and it has all the potential for producing light, right? I mean, a light bulb has all the potential to produce light. If you hold a light bulb, unless it's burned out, of course, but the light bulb has to be connected in something. It has to be connected to electricity. And so very much that's the way it works out for us. When we're connected in God, it works out that he's working in and through us to will and to do his good pleasure. I like that, don't you? I like it when it's not up to me, folks. Because I mess things up. When it's not up to me, for me to work out my own salvation in my own works, in my own ways, but that I'm being supernaturally empowered from a source that maybe I don't even always know about where it's coming from. You know, when you turn on the lights, there's many power stations out there. It's all electricity, but it can come from many different sources. God's the only source, but it's like you can receive God's empowerment when you're not even thinking about it, which is good. So here's the message version of that. The energy, that energy is God's energy. An energy deep within you. See, that's a key. That what you have inside of you right now is all you need to walk through life with God. You're not needing more from God. All you're needing is for God to continue to work in you the renewing of your mind, the renewing of your heart. And you can do that by the word. You can do that through prayer. You can do that by renouncing darkness from your life. You can redo that by getting healed and transformed. All of those things make it so that the work that's already in you, it's within you. How many of you totally get that? Or do you still think you need something more from God? See, that's a fallacy. Because if we would realize that everything that we need to be who we're called to be already resides in us, because is not Holy Spirit inside of us? Is Holy Spirit lacking in any way at all? Is Holy Spirit being held back in any way from fully working in our lives? I don't think so. So the only thing is us flipping on that switch. You know, we have to make sure that we're submitted and we're saying, Lord, work in and through me. It is kind of a paradox because it seems like we have to do it, but it's God in us working it out. So let's read on and see if it helps. This is the Weiss translation. Oh, wait, I didn't finish that verse. Let me finish the message. Within you, God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. See, keep in mind that he's doing what he needs to do in us for his pleasure, for his delight. And it's him doing the work in us so that he not only receives the delight, but we receive the delight because we're being who he created us to be. Philippians 2:13 in the Weiss translation. For God is the one who is constantly putting forth his energy in you, both in the form of your being desirous of and your doing his good pleasure. So it's him in you to create these desires that you can't create yourself. Right? I mean, Junior, I think of when, you know, you were saying you something was driving you to come back. And, you know, you could think, well, you know, I just want to get my life together. You can give all these reasons why you think you wanted to be back in your place. But it was him in you doing that. It was his desire coming in line with his call on your life, bringing that desire back to you to be where you need to be. Because there's things for you to do. You know, it says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for these good works that have been prepared beforehand that we're to fulfill. And he's got you. He's got stuff for you. But when I read that, I thought of that. I thought of you, so. So let's look at some other verses that, because this is just one verse. I know sometimes you hear one verse, you say, well, how can that one verse really communicate this truth? So let's read it from a few other verses, and we'll realize that it's all about God. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So who began the good work in us? He. Jesus, God, Holy Spirit. He began the work, and he will be the one to complete it. So now some of you are saying, well, Pastor Mike, do I have to do anything at all then? I mean, just live my life doing whatever I want to do and to my own pleasing, and he'll work it out in me? No. Why is that? Because when we're doing our own way and doing our own thing, we're not remaining in him. And the only way that he is going to complete the work until the day of Jesus Christ is if we remain in him. Now, we don't remain in him by doing things. We remain in him because we set our heart on him. It's just like this. I use this illustration because it is a perfect illustration. I don't go all the time into a file drawer in my house and I look at my marriage certificate to gay. And I use that to say I'm married. I have a relationship with Gaylene because I have this certificate. I have this, and it's a contract. I mean, you guys who've gotten married, you know, it's a contract. The justice of the peace or the minister of the gospel signs it, and there's witnesses, and it is a contract. We've made it so that it's not that kind of a contract. It's not fully a contract. It's a covenant. Thank you. I'm using the wrong word, but it's a covenant. But that marriage certificate is a contract. If you go to the court of law, it's a contract. The relationship between you and your wife is a covenant before God. Thank you. I'm listening. I'm going, this isn't right. But anyway, the point being is that I don't need that certificate to have relationship with her. I don't have to constantly be reminding myself, I'm married to Gaylene, I'm married to Gay. I've given her my heart. And so out of giving her my heart, I remain in relationship. I remain in her, in so to speak. The two become one. And as she gives me her heart, she remains in me. That's the way it should work with God. It's not like I do these things to remain married. I'm going to do the dishes to remain married. No, I do the dishes because I love her. And I don't want to see her, hurt her back anymore, hunching over. And we'll fight over the dishes because she wants to do the dishes to bless me. I know it's like people are saying, man, I want to come to your house. But it's like they're fighting over doing the dishes. And we don't always use the dishwasher. Hang on a second. And so we have this relationship that's based on heart. The marriage certificate is just to fulfill the state needs, the contractual part. But we have a covenant of hearts. We've linked our hearts together. And that's the same way it's to work with God. That if I give him my heart and he gives me his heart, we now have relationship. And as he puts his heart in me and his life in me, guess what? He's at work in me. I mean, it's like, to a certain degree, there's certain things that even having a relationship with Gay's at work in me. I mean, I'm not as messy as I used to be. No, I'm not. And she'll tell you that. I mean, when she came over to my house when I was batching it, she looked at the house and she goes, oh my goodness, who are you? I had a bachelor's house. I was spending all my time, hanging out with her, when she came into my life. And so my place was trash. I think she came over 1.5 days one time to help me clean it up, But my point being is now I try to, I don't like things as cluttered as long. I can handle a little clutter. Like just yesterday, usually it would be like the dishes could pile up and I wouldn't care. But yesterday I'm like, okay, it's been a day. And I just did the dishes and cleaned up. That's her in me. Changing me. Do you see? You guys relating? Okay. You were going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, because the difference between contract and covenant, the way the word sounds, one sounds beautiful, one sounds happy, right? And that's what it is. A contract says, you do this, we'll do this.
Right.
You do this, you get paid. Where a covenant says, because I love you, we'll do this.
That should be on the deal. Yeah. Because I love you, a covenant says, I do this. Because I'm giving you my heart. And you're giving me your heart. That's what a covenant says. A contract says, you do this. Thank you. You do this. It's great, but the only thing is I'm like ADD, so I was like, Thank you. But the point being is that a contract is like cut and dry. And that's why, you can easily just go and say, hey, I want this contract null and void. I don't love the person anymore. And now you have certificates of divorce. Another contract. But that's not the heart of God. Okay, let's go on. Second Corinthians 4:7. Find it here. I love this scripture. But we have this treasure. What treasure? God. God is the treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, hello, it's all about God. It's all God.
Yes.
The excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So we I think one of the scriptures says, like, there's no good things in us. That is our flesh. And anything that we do that looks like we've accomplished something for God, it was all God. Even your desire to want to serve Him, I believe, is God. I know.
Well, then what part do I play?
You stay with a yes in your heart. I have a good friend, and that's what he says. Just keep a yes in your heart. Just keep a yes. Lord, whatever you want me to do, however you want me to change, whatever you need me, you're just willing. And, you know, it's like, yes, dear. Except it's yes, God. Likening it to a relationship. Husbands know that a yes to their wife is really a good thing most of the time. You know. I mean, it just is. I mean, you know, when they have a honey-do list, a yes to the honey-do list is really, really a good thing. For those of you who aren't married, I just encourage you to check those things off and get them done. And, you know, there's just seems to be a little more peace in the home. Now, God doesn't have a checklist for us. All He wants is our heart. He wants us to love Him. And He loves us. It's pretty simple. Now here's another one. 2 Corinthians 3:5-6. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. Let me read that again. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. So there's nothing in ourselves to think anything about ourselves. But our sufficiency is from God. So, if you think you're something, you're really not. Because it's Him. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything, of being from ourselves. But our sufficiency is from God. Going back up. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Do you see why I titled it, It's All About God? Now, last week, and I was thinking about this, I was going to tie this in. Last week, we talked about, you know, without a vision, people perish. Cast off restraint. Now I can't remember the full verse, but the second part is basically with a vision, with a, okay, hang on, I've got to get it. Hate it when that happens. Does anybody have it? Proverbs, see if I can remember the verse. 29:18, thank you, Jesse. He probably just put it in or something like that. He appears like, yep, I've got that verse memorized. It's like, hang on. I'm going back to it because it does tie in. Proverbs 29:18. Thank you. Where there is no revelation or prophetic revelation, as it says in the Amplified, the people cast off restraint, but happy, that's the word I wanted, but happy, blessed is he who keeps the law, who keeps the direct path for following the way that God's designed their life. And so that's kind of going along with what we're talking about here. God has this vision and plan for our lives. I mean, it's not like every day he's like going, oh, well, what am I having them do today? Oh, okay, I'll have them take out the garbage. How about, let's see, I'll have them help that old lady across the street. That'll be a good work. Let's see, maybe they can wash their face. They're pretty dirty. It's like, you know, that's not what he's doing. It says that God has preordained or pre-prepared good works for us to walk in. He has a plan that has been since the foundation of the world, folks, for our lives. Now, I know it doesn't make sense to our natural mind. As a matter of fact, that can really cause your natural mind to break because it doesn't make sense to our finite world. But in God, He has prepared beforehand all things for us to live for Him. Not that He is the one, you know, that's sitting there just manipulating our lives, but there is something, a divine prophetic revelation that we can grasp in our heart and in our life. And when we walk that out, then He works through us to accomplish that. Does that make sense? No? Okay, good. Here's another one. Maybe this will help. Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Wrong one. There we go. And what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? There it is again. And what is the exceeding, that means the high above everything, greatness, the only time that word is used in the New Testament, I think it's the word megas, so probably where we get the word mega, power, greatness of His power towards us who believe. So towards us, working in and through us, according to the working of His mighty power. I know, that is kind of a difficult one. So what Paul is saying is, I want you to get with your heart, not just with your natural mind. Because most of you can read this and say, yeah, I get that. That makes sense. But it up here doesn't do you any good. It has to be in your being. And Paul's saying that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Open the eyes of my heart. Look, that's what that song's about. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you, but I want to see you being evident here. See, the thing is that just to see God in His glory and then to come back here and just live our normal life, that's not really seeing Him. Seeing Him means that we're not the same. We're changed. We're transformed. It says that, you know, some of us will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. I believe that's because we're going to see Him. And as we see Him, we're going to be just like Him. But I mean, we're just going to see Him we're going to see Him in the fullness, and something's going to happen in us. And I believe here today, each and every one of us, as we're basking in Him, can see Him even more. Can experience even more of that transformation. I keep losing my deal. But, so he's saying, what are the riches, the glorious inheritance of saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe? Because we believe, and because we've believed in Him, and we've given Him our heart, we've had covenant with Him, now there's an exceeding greatness power towards us. I believe that's grace. Grace is a supernatural empowerment to do what we normally could not do on our own. That's why for by grace we've been saved, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Because it's a supernatural gift of salvation that comes to us, not of our own works, but by faith, by believing what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Towards us who, according to the working of His mighty power. In other words, it's going to be according to His power. It's all about God. And I'll leave you with this and we can talk a little bit. The Jonathan Mitchell New Testament. For you see, God is the one habitually. This is Philippians 2:13 now. For you see, God is the one habitually being inwardly active. That word working is the same word where we get in Hebrews 4:12 that says that the word of God is living
and active. It's in the working process. Inwardly active, constantly working and progressively affecting results within you folks. God is the one habitually being inwardly active, constantly working and progressively affecting results within you folks. Isn't that good news? Both the willing and the situation to be continuously affecting the action and inward work above the thing that pleases him. In other words, he is the one that is creating in us what we need to serve him. So this is kind of the paradox, the riddle. If he's the one doing it, then how do I align with what he wants me to do, or do I even need to do anything? Right? So when the Lord drew you, you had something in your heart. Something started changing. I remember I started questioning, you know, the things of life. I started questioning, and Holy Spirit was probably convicting me of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. That's one of the three attributes of the Holy Spirit when he's working in someone's life that isn't in the place that they're to be. And so, you know, all these thoughts came to me. But at some point, there was a presentation. Someone said, this is what you must do to be saved. Sometimes the Lord speaks to people and says, I just want to have a relationship with you. And it's that simple. And they go and they have a relationship with him. For me, my relationship with God started with me not wanting to go to hell. Just seemed like a bad idea. I mean, you know, I hated fighting, all that kind of stuff. And it just seemed like, you know, I've seen people who are hellions. I don't want to be around them anymore, you know. And I mean, I didn't have the whole revelation of, you know, the devil and the pitchfork and all that. So I just knew that hell sounded bad. You know, people who were usually really mean told me to go there. And I didn't, you know, I just didn't want to have anything to do with it. And so when an option came up, a plan B, that I didn't have to go to hell, because I thought my own ways would probably keep me from hell, because I didn't steal, I really didn't steal. I didn't like rob a bank. I didn't like, you know, hold people up, you know. I would borrow something, not return it, but that really wasn't stealing. You know, you have all these ways that you justify, you know, your behavior so that you're not an axe murderer, you know. But I would hate somebody, like I would want to kill them, you know, but that didn't matter. My point being is that when I really realized that by my own efforts, I wasn't going to make it there. Right. Yes, hon?
Sorry, when you just said that, there's a verse that actually says, if you hate a brother or sister, you've already murdered them.
Oh, I know. I've since have read that. Matthew, yes, Matthew 5. Yes, if you call them even a fool, you're guilty of hell, it says. So help me, Lord. So anyway, I realized that by my own efforts, I wasn't going to make it. So when I gave my heart to the Lord, you know, I thought, well, I found Jesus. It was, you know, my effort. No, he drew me to himself. The only thing that I had that got me where I needed to go was a yes. I said yes. Now, I could have said no. I mean, he still gives free will. It was at him, though, that drew me. It was at him that had the Holy Spirit all of a sudden start awakening things in my life. It was him, the one that lined me up with Cal, you know, to present the gospel message and had him approach me and all those things. It was at him at work in all of that. And at one point, I finally had to say yes. That's the only thing that I contributed to this relationship. So guess what? The answer is, how do you continue to go on and have him fulfill this amazing, glorious power within us? You continue to say yes. It never stops. Probably you've stalled and halted at times because you started saying no. As the Holy Spirit was communicating to you things to do and maybe ways of being obedient so that you would grow in him, you said no. And guess what? He's not going to force himself on you. God does not force himself on you. But he will continue to chase after you. I believe he will chase after us until we cannot be chased anymore. And I don't know when that is. All I know is that I don't want to be the one running away from him. I want to be the one running into his arms. Especially now since I've walked with him and had relationship with him, I don't want to do something to hurt him, just as I wouldn't want to do something to hurt Gay. I mean, when I do something and say something stupid, I mean, I feel bad. And it hurts my heart knowing that I've hurt her. Same thing, that's the way it should be with God. When we hurt him, it should hurt our hearts knowing that we've hurt him. See, it's all about God, but it's all about relationship. And you guys can have a real relationship with God. It doesn't have to be through a book. It doesn't have to be through a piece of paper. It doesn't have to be just through your one-time prayer 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It can be alive and vibrant right now. You can bask in his presence. Amen. So it's all God. Next time someone says, "Oh man, you're amazing. Thank you for doing that. You're just such a servant. You're just such a worker for the Lord." Say, "Well, it's all God." And someone say, "Well, you're having false humility." No, you're being biblical. If there's anything good in you, it's all God. Now, if there's anything bad in you, it's not all God. I want to make that statement. I mean, if you see somebody that's a hellion, that's not all God. That's somebody that's resisting and saying no. So what do we have to do here? Just say yes today. Say yes tomorrow. Say yes the next day. And if you said no before and the Holy Spirit saying, you know, Pastor Mike's got a point there because it's all me anyway communicating to you. You need to start saying yes to that thing that you're saying no to. And you know what the yes is. You know maybe what the Lord's been putting on your heart to do or not do. And obedience, folks, is better than sacrifice. So coming to church, sacrificial duty, sacrament. You know, putting that time aside on Sundays and coming here. That's great, but it'd be better for you to be obedient. Be better for you to say yes. Lord, yes. Yes to that thing that I've said no to for a long time. Maybe you haven't said yes in so long, or he hasn't brought it back up to you. You don't remember what he was asking you to do. Well, go back to him. Say, "Lord, what was it again that you needed me to do? And I just didn't think I could do it because I had no power in myself to do it." And he knew that. Because it's all about God. It's all God. He was going to empower you supernaturally, exceedingly above anything that you could expect. Because he was at work in you. And so when you said no, it's like you short-circuited that. It's like you undid yourself and set you off to the side. Now there may be other areas that you're lighting up in. But you know how it is when we have like gone off track and you're not really, what are we looking at? I was going to knock something off. You're not really doing what you know he wants you to do. Does that make sense? Okay. I wish Gay was here because she would like interpret half of this. She's so good. So does anyone else have anything to add? I mean, anyone? Or an illustration, or maybe just the Holy Spirit has really put something in your heart that is going to help all of us have greater level of understanding. Anyone? Yeah? Christine?
I drew a picture.
You drew a picture?
Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So the old me, this was God. He was just surrounding me. But the new me, it's like God is in me, working through me. And it's just like this mind. So when I see scriptures that you were, it just changes perspective because you're not thinking about what God's doing, but you're what God's doing through you. And it just, it changes. It just, it, every scripture is different now because I just think in that mindset that he's in me, working through me, instead of him over me, trying to make me somebody else. So it's like, I don't,
no, it's the difference. It's the difference between habitation and separation. It's the difference between, you know, working with an, you know, like, you know, an office someplace and you're sending, you know, requests and the office then is performing for you or doing things or maybe even, you know, sending you resources or whatever versus someone that lives in your home.
Yeah, it's like we've been Christian for, you know, almost 40 years and 30 of those years you're living that way that he's just this object outside of you that wants you to be this person instead of him being in you that's helping you become all that he wants you to be. It's just a
It's night and day, isn't it?
Totally, the scriptures just do some, have different meaning.
Amen. That's good. So what she's saying again, the difference between God being like over us or around us or, you know, Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So all of us can, you know, I'm holding Jesus' hand and he's holding me, he's dragging me along. But no, he's never leaving us, the habitation inside of us. That's why I said at the very beginning, all that you need from God, you already have. That's a tough one, isn't it? Because we all feel sometimes this poverty feeling because, oh boy, I just look like I'm lacking. But that's just you looking in the natural. That's not who you are in God. In God, you are full and complete. And what she said is when you realize that everything you need is already there, then it's just a matter of tapping into who he is in you, remaining in him. That's good. Anyone else? Lisa?
I was just going to say, one thing I've noticed in my own life is that every time I said yes to God in small things and in huge things, and moved up a different step, it was scarier than death. But what I've always found is that what the scripture was saying, that it is him working in you. You'll find out that when you take that big, horrible, scary step into the next thing, he's always there. There's like ground underneath your feet. You step and you're like, man, he's there.
Right.
He's there. There, and he works through us as we submit and as we say yes.
Right.
And sometimes it's scary.
Yeah.
But there's nothing better
than saying yes.
Yes.
Well, it's because you're being then who you're designed to be.
Yeah.
Because when we're outside of his will and we're doing our own thing, there's a lack of fulfillment. Yeah, you may be having fun in the natural. You may be enjoying things in the flesh. But I guarantee your inner man, that who you are, is not fulfilled. And so being who we're designed to be and saying yes to who we're designed to be is a big positive. That's good. Anyone else? And it is scary sometimes. Yeah, Herman?
I feel that we're never full of God because if we were, we would stop depending on him. So he makes us
So that, so you're saying that even though he's fully in us, it's like if it, we're always depending on him in us. I think that's good. I think that's a truth.
That's why we're working through trials and stumble because we need to stop and think what happened. Oh, I haven't prayed today. Oh, I haven't read my Bible. I haven't been in church. And so we never have all of what we think we will because if not, we wouldn't be okay, well, I'm full of God and I can go this way. It's my way.
Right. Total dependency. Yeah. I think that what and I know where you're coming from, because I know we can, once we think that we've arrived, then, you know, I'm going to forget God. But I do think we need to come to the mentality and understanding that we are sons of the Most High, sons and daughters of the Most High. I mean, we're sons, but we're male and female sons. I mean, we're his children, and that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So to this life, and then everything that pertains to our godliness. So we have everything. There's all of our requirements are there, but there's a lack in us of fully understanding that, to the place where that if we think we had it, that we then would abandon him. But I think the more that we get it, where we truly get it, the more we're like Jesus. And so we don't become less dependent, we become more dependent. Is that, I mean, we almost become codependent in a good way, to where we can't be who we are without him. See, codependency in relationships that where they're bad relationships, that's not good. But in God, if we are codependent on him, in other words, we need him to totally be who we are, then I think as we approach that, we're not going to need to worry about going off and doing our own thing, because all we've done is drawn closer to his light, and the darkness has been totally penetrated, and we're more like Jesus. But if right now we're at the place where we're totally depending on him, and I believe that's the way it continues. I believe Jesus was 100% dependent upon the Father. Yeah, he might have looked like he was doing all these things and being this amazing, but I think if you would ask Jesus would have said, it's all about God. Only reason I'm doing is because the Father's at work in me. That it was God at work in him. Even though he was God, he was fully dependent upon God. And he did nothing that he did not see the Father doing, or say anything that he did not hear the Father saying. Okay, that was good. That was good, Herman. Thank you. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, that it is all about you. And Lord, as we ponder, Lord, what our yes needs to be in our heart, or our yes needs to be, Lord, in our lives, Lord, I pray that we would realize, Lord, that you are the one that's supernaturally empowering us, God, even to respond in a yes to you. And Lord, that no matter how, like Lisa said, dangerous or scary saying yes to that, whatever you're calling us to or calling us to leave behind, Lord, that you will give us the power and the strength, Lord, to fulfill that yes. Lord, I just ask you to open the eyes of our hearts today. Open our understanding, Lord. Open our ability, Lord, to comprehend, Lord, how vast and huge and great and exceedingly great you are in our lives. That we're not just, you know, limited by our own condition, Lord, but we're only limited, Lord, by our connection with you. Father, I pray right now, Lord, for everyone, Lord, that's hearing my voice, that there would be a freedom, Lord, that would come over them. Lord, that there would be a breaking, Lord, a breaking of chains and shackles of mindsets and patterns and old habits and ways, Lord, that have kept them, Lord, from fulfilling, Lord, that work that you've called them to do. They are your workmanship, Lord. They are your workmanship, Lord, created for those good works, Lord.
are, and let your love fill our hearts right now. Let your faith fill us, Lord, where we're able to believe for things that we've never been able to believe for. Lord, as we step into 2018, Lord, I pray that this would be a transformation year for us. A year where we quit looking back. A year where we were able to have that prophetic revelation, Lord, of what you want to do in and through our lives, of who you've called us to be, and how your love is empowering us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're at work in us to do and to will your good pleasure. Help us to come into alignment with that. So I want to give anyone an opportunity to come up for prayer, for healing. I want to testify. Joe and Christine were up here several weeks in a row, and I kept going up, okay, man, I want prayer for my back again. And, you know, I felt kind of like, you know, like I just keep asking, you know. They prayed for me one time, and I mean immediately. It was like, whoa, this is great. And it was like, I'm bending over, no pain. But I did something, you know, life, and I tweaked it. And then they would pray, and Jerry prayed, and I felt a little something, but, you know, still nothing. Well, I kept coming back for prayer because I hadn't received fully. And so I'm here to tell you, man, I'm like, I just keep going, Lord, it's great. And I was lifting things and doing stuff. And I said, oh, this, so praise God, right? So Joe and Christine are ones who pray for people who are sick, pray for people who are not just sick physically, but in the heart. And I'm just always giving them the opportunity to pray for you. I will pray for you as well. But, you know, there's something about being who you're created and designed to be. And Joe especially, and Christine would say this, has like an addiction for wanting to see God just blast people and give them everything they need in the moment. Amen? Amen. So you guys can come on up. And anyone, they're up here. And praise God. Welcome to 2018. Is everybody else glad 2017 is in the book? I'm sure all of the people in Washington, D.C. are pretty glad it's in the books. Praise God. Love you guys. Have a great day.